Penguin Random House Audio presents What in the World? A Southern Woman's Guide to Laughing at Life's Unexpected Curveballs and Beautiful Blessings. This is the author, Leanne Morgan. To Jimmy, Lucille, Chuck, Charlie, Maggie, Tess, CW, and JJ, the reason for everything. Introduction. What in the world? I wrote a book. It seems hard to believe. I graduated from the sweetest little high school in a rural area. We didn't know what marijuana was, but we couldn't write a paper either. Instead of chemistry or a foreign language, I took home economics. I learned how to flip an omelet, and just like that, I graduated. And now, I've filled hundreds of pages with stories about my life that are going to throw you for a loop. You might want to pour yourself a Diet Coke and open up a box of cheese straws before you read on. Okay, let's have a bowl, shall we? Since you picked this book up, you probably know some things about me, like the fact that I'm a Southern girl who loves babies and dogs and likes to kiss them both on the mouth. I have a husband who doesn't chat, which is good because I talk enough for the both of us. You might have seen me on a comedy tour, like Just Getting Started or the Big Panty Tour. Or you might have heard a sweet lady call me Mrs. Maisel of Appalachia on NPR. You might have even been one of the dolls who threw a pair of Sam's Club panties at me on stage. Is there a more beautiful sight than thousands of darling, fun women laughing so hard they wee-wee themselves? Who would have thought so much joy would come from women pee-peeing? It is a privilege I do not take for granted. For that matter, who would have thought a woman who focused on being a mama through her 20s, 30s, and 40s would perform at the Grand Ole Opry and have a Netflix special in her mid-50s? My comedy isn't about all that, though. For instance, I talk about what's really going on with my stomach. It looks like a small purse. When you write to me on social media and say, I'm living your life, I know it's true. If we met in person, we could have a ball talking about recipes, hot flashes, and all the diets we failed at. All I can do with this crazy, late-in-life success in comedy is soak it in, wipe away a stray tear, and think, what in the world have I done to deserve this? Every day, I pinch myself. Every day, I'm amazed. For decades, I felt so unseen in the comedy industry, and now I have enough fans out there to get a major publisher to sell my book. How is it even possible? Nobody expected this to happen. Growing up, I didn't know a soul in the entertainment business and never even took so much as a dance class. I didn't perform in a comedy club until I had three babies and was in my 30s. When I got on stage, I wasn't in black leather making jokes about taking mushrooms, shaving B-A-L-L-S, I'm spell cussing while you're reading this, or dare I say, F-E-L-L-A-T-I-O. I was in a kitten heel and capri pant with birds on them, talking about raising my kids and loose doo-doo balls in the grocery store, and it didn't always go over well. A lot of people in clubs were drunk and high, and let me tell you, they didn't want to hear about birthing, breastfeeding, or T-ball. But you precious readers heard me and felt like I was talking about your own lives. I became the rarest of gems, a 55-year-old woman from rural Tennessee with a spray tan and jeans with some stretch in them, who people wanted to come out and see. The reason this has all happened to me is because of y'all. You found me, and now I hope this book finds you. The stories in What in the World are about being a woman, a daughter, a mother, and a wife, and finding my own voice after so many years of trying to figure out what in the world that even means. Through good times, like earning a college degree, getting married, and landing a TV deal, and bad times, like dropping out of college, getting divorced, and watching my TV deal disappear before my eyes, God was always with me to show me a door, either the way out of a tough situation or the way into something better. I've ridden the roller coaster, sometimes loving it and sometimes screaming to get off. Whenever I was kicked in the teeth by life, people would talk about the silver lining, and I'd say, I don't see it. Are you crazy? It took me a long time to figure out that I needed to be grateful for the valleys because God had me there for a reason. What I learned sustained me until the next mountaintop, and hallelujah, it gave me great stories to tell. My overriding what-in-the-world amazement about where I am now is that all the hard times I've faced in the past suddenly make perfect sense to me. God's presence in everything I've gone through up to this point is so evident. I have tears running down my face as I read this. We've all had joy and heartbreak. We've all had ups and downs. I've survived mine by trying to find the funny in every situation and eventually having the faith that things will sort themselves out. It may take a while, but in the end, everything's going to be all right. Every time you find yourself saying, "What in the world?" you're one step closer to getting where you want to go. Chapter 1, Meet the Fletchers. The thing about families is that growing up, you think yours is just like everyone else's because it's all you know. As an adult, you look back and think, "Whoa, we were so not normal." I always knew as a child that the Fletchers were not normal for Adams, Tennessee, where I grew up. It wasn't until later that I realized we weren't normal for anywhere. Adams is a town of approximately 500 people. It is so close to the northern border that if you threw a piece of fried chicken as hard as you could, you might hit Kentucky. Best fried chicken in the world. In Adams, most everyone was the same. They had the same houses, farms, clothes, attitudes, everything. My family was just like the rest in some ways. I came from farming people on both sides. We didn't live in a mansion or anything. Our house was a 1,400-square-foot ranch with 3 bedrooms, a kitchen, a living room, and 1.5 bathrooms. All the land around us was grazed on by cows, horses, pigs, and mules. We were always driving slow behind tractors and combines and waving to everyone as we went by. But we were different in other ways that, in my mind, made us special. We had our own Coca-Cola machine. The biggest thing that set my family apart from all the farmers in Adams was that the Fletchers were also business owners. My daddy, Jimmy Fletcher, ran the only grocery store for 20 miles. The store was like our family stage, where everyone in town came to hang out and visit with us and watch us work. Daddy had learned amazing butcher skills at a previous job at Kroger, and people loved how he cut up meat. Then he'd wrap it up pretty in butcher paper and tape it like a Christmas present. My mama, Lucille, worked part-time at the cash register and had a ball talking to everyone while smoking a Winston Light, drinking a tab, and occasionally wearing a hairpiece that made her look like Bridget Bardot. I wasn't the only one who thought she was the most glamorous woman in Adams. And then there was me, Little Miss Early Talker. By the time I was in kindergarten, Mama would prop me up on the counter by the cash register and call the customers to gather around and listen to whatever came out of my mouth. "Lynn, tell them your favorite flavor of ice cream," she said. I didn't need prompting. I held court to 6 farmers, Mama's friends, and a clutch of grandmas about the virtues of chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry. And then the punchline, "But I love pinto beans, too." Everyone laughed, and then they went back to chewing tobacco and squeezing tomatoes. People might have come for the Coca-Cola machine, but they stayed for the wit. On Mondays, the new supplies came in. My sister, Beth, and I helped stock the shelves. I thought of this as a big responsibility. I'm sure I was no help at all. I would work a little, and then, while drinking a tab, just like my mama, I'd take cans of Lysol and spray them until they were empty. My parents would yell, "Lynn, quit spraying that Lysol." I could have killed myself from inhaling all those chemicals, but the place smelled fresh. The only other hotspot in town that rivaled ours in popularity was the funeral home. Did I mention there weren't many things to do in Adams? We had one caution light. We'd walk past it on the way to the grocery every day. Mama would peek in and see if she saw people inside. She'd say, "Someone's in the funeral home. Let's see who's in there." We wound up going to a lot of funerals. It wasn't a morbid hobby. Everyone in Adams was practically kin, and going to a funeral was a social occasion when there wasn't much else going on. We'd just visit. It felt normal to me, nothing to be scared of. And afterward, there was a big meal, which meant fried chicken and deviled eggs. I was not complaining.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?